Welcome to Marissa's Wicked Word Nosh, a place to chow down on topics relevant to writers of all kinds.
Hello, and welcome to Marissa's Wicked Word Nosh. I'm Marissa, and this is a weekly podcast in which I talk about a wide variety of writing-related topics. And occasionally, I may talk about something that's not exactly writing-related, like I'm going to do briefly before diving into this week's topic. And that is because this is my last episode of 2020. Wow. It's almost over, folks. And by that, I mean 2020. Can you believe it? There's not much more I can say about 2020 that hasn't already been said, which is putting it mildly. But we can and should hope that 2021 is better. I've never been a fan of making New Year's resolutions. And this year, I think it's safe to say that a lot of people have more important things to worry about than, say, exercising more or spending too much time on social media. So you have a right not to make a New Year's resolution. And please, don't let anyone try to tell you differently. But I will say that if writing is something that brings you comfort and joy, whether you pursue it professionally or as a hobby or even as a form of therapy, this may be a good time to incorporate some new practice into your writing routine, or to maybe try writing a short piece in a genre you've never tried before, or even to enter a writing competition, like NaNoWriMo in November. Once again, you do have a right not to do anything like that. I'm just saying, if you want to try something new writing-wise, there are lots of good options out there. But whatever you do, good luck. And above all, please, stay safe. Anyway, I didn't have a specific idea about what I want to do my last episode of the year on. But since it's a topic I've been wanting to talk about for a while, I'm glad I'm doing an episode on it before this year is over. But there's a lot that can be said about it, so it's one I may revisit in a future episode. The topic is fan fiction, or fanfic, as I'll refer to it for the most part from now on. And my decision to discuss it now was inspired by my recent decision to watch the series Carnival once again. If you haven't heard of Carnival, it ran for 2 seasons on HBO from 2003 to 2005. And it's still on HBO Max, or I believe it's also on Amazon Prime if you'd like to check it out, which I would highly recommend. The show takes place in the 1930s, and as you might have guessed, much of it focuses on a group of carnies traveling through Oklahoma, Texas, and New Mexico, one of whom is a farm boy who has healing powers, played by Nick Stahl. But you get to know the other carnies pretty well. There's a bearded lady, a snake handler, a lizard man, conjoined twins, a tarot reader. You get the idea. And then there's a second storyline, which features an evil preacher in California played by Clancy Brown. And without going into too much detail, you probably see the makings of an epic good versus evil type of thing. I was a big fan of the show when it first aired. I'll confess that I had a huge crush on Nick Stahl at the time, but I thought everything about the show was amazing, from the historical detail to the writing to the paranormal aspects to the music. However, although I was disappointed when I found out the show would be canceled after the second season, I wasn't exactly surprised. My understanding was that it was expensive to make, but also, the show never felt, mainstream to me, which was, of course, was one of the things I liked most about it. But still, a few storylines were in progress when the show ended. and a lot of fans found the finale unsatisfying as a result. There was even talk about continuing the series elsewhere. And if the show had maybe premiered a few years ago, that might have happened, because there are a lot more streaming services now than there were 15 years ago. You see shows that didn't make it on one network getting picked up somewhere else more often. And also, I think a lot of viewers are more open now to programming that may be different from what they've seen before. Unfortunately, the show didn't come back. At least, not officially. But I wasn't surprised to discover that a percentage of the fan base was determined to keep the show and its unique cast of characters alive by writing fanfic, much of which you can still find by Googling Carnival and fanfic. So, after listening to this episode, if you decide to watch Carnival, love it, and want more, you can find several archives where you can read an abundance of Carnival fanfic in several languages. Now, I've never written fanfic, but just as a fan of Carnival, I understand why so many people write it. If you've ever been a hardcore fan of a series, whether it's based on a TV show, a film, or even a book, you tend to become strongly attached to certain characters. And if the writing is good, it can inspire you to imagine storylines that the show's creators may not have considered or did consider but decided not to pursue. And you might even come up with a few characters of your own. Who knows? According to Wikipedia, fanfic is, quote, fictional writing written by fans, commonly of an existing work of fiction. The author uses copyrighted characters, settings, or other intellectual properties from the original creators as a basis for their writing, end quote. However, there's also fanfic about real-life celebrities, such as Justin Bieber and One Direction, which I'm not going to say that the world needs anything like that. I'm just throwing that out there so you get an idea of just how broad the world of fanfic is. And although you have to know your show or film or whatnot well to write fanfic about it, if for no other reason than your audience is probably just as knowledgeable about it as you are, people don't just write fanfic because they love the work. According to an article by Allie Wilkins called Fanfiction and Copyright, Has the Digital Age Rendered Copyright Laws Obsolete?, which I'll include a link to in the show notes, a large percentage of fanfic writers are women. Very likely, quote, because they are rarely the target audience of popular creative works in media, and fan fiction creates a forum for women to project their perspectives onto popular works. End quote. You can also find a wide variety of LGBTQA+ fanfic, largely due to problematic or insufficient representation in the mainstream. Wilkins also stresses fanfic's appeal for younger writers, who may be inspired to write for the first time due to their passion for a particular work, and by interacting with other young fanfic writers through websites such as Archive of Our Own or AO3, fanfiction.net, and Wattpad, can not only acquire skills that will help them develop as writers, but also learn a lot about science, history, and other areas that may not have otherwise interested them. However, if you think fanfic only appeals to younger readers and writers, think again. An erotic bestseller that I'm sure you've heard of, even if you don't normally read erotic bestsellers, 50 Shades of Grey, began as Twilight fanfic. In an article called The Ultimate Guide to Fanfiction and Fanfiction Sites, Joanna Smith provides a comprehensive list of fanfic types as tags you might find on fanfic websites. And in addition to adult, which you need to be 18 and over to read, you may see tags such as BDSM, which stands for bondage, domination, sadism, masochism, and smut. According to Smith, Tags like these are important because they let readers know what to expect from the story they are about to read, and what to avoid in case they are likely to be uncomfortable with the material. So it's in a fanfic writer's best interest to be mindful of these tags and make sure that their work is appropriately labeled when they post it. But before you get any big ideas about writing fanfic, adult-themed or otherwise, based on your favorite series, you need to be aware of some potential issues. It's safe to assume that a lot of well-established writers are aware that fanfic based on their work is available on the internet for all to see. And many of them are not happy about it, to put it mildly. George R.R. Martin, whose A Song of Ice and Fire series was adapted into Game of Thrones, not only believes that, quote, using someone else's world is the lazy way out, end quote, but has also stated that he sees the characters he creates as his quote-unquote children, which he doesn't feel anyone else should have a right to manipulate in their own works. Anne Rice, author of The Vampire Chronicles and The Lives of the Mayfair Witches, to name just a few, is another prominent opponent of fanfic. In the early 2000s, a collection of fanfic based on Rice's works was removed from fanfiction.net. And some fanfic writers have even claimed that they were contacted by Rice's lawyers, who ordered them to stop writing all fanfic, not just fanfic based on Rice's works. But other writers are in favor of fanfic, albeit with some caveats. I believe this is the first time I'm mentioning J.K. Rowling, author of the Harry Potter series, on this podcast, and I honestly hope to never mention her again, because I find her opposition to transgendered individuals reprehensible. She's made a lot of comments about it in the past year, and I find it sickening. I really do. And for that reason, I don't want to give her any additional publicity. But she's a prominent example of a writer who's reportedly found the idea that someone might write fiction based on her works somewhat flattering, and tends not to have a problem with it, as long as it's not pornographic. And then, there are people like sci-fi fantasy writer Charles Stross, who claims that he doesn't care if you want to write fanfic about his characters, but that doesn't mean he necessarily wants to read what you write, and he doesn't want your fanfic to, quote, fuck with my ability to earn a living, end quote. And on that note, I think this is a great point to briefly discuss potential legal issues regarding fanfic. Going back to the Wikipedia definition of fanfic, the characters and settings in the vast majority of your favorite series are protected by copyright. Copyright law is fairly complicated, and I didn't do as well in the intellectual property law classes that I took as I would have liked, so I'm not going to go into too much detail here. But I am including an article by Robert Wood called Make Sure Your Fan Fiction is Legal or Regret It Later in the show notes that's a must-read if you're interested in writing fanfic. According to Wood, quote, copyright gives the author the sole right to create derivative works, basically, works which use protected elements of the source material, end quote. Now, if the creators didn't have that right, they wouldn't be able to profit from their works, which is why although a writer like Strauss may not object to your writing fanfic based on his work in general, he would definitely take issue with your trying to profit from it. However, Wood also notes that copyright law seeks to allow, quote, as much further creative expression as possible, end quote. Which basically means that even though fanfic writers are generally limited as to how they can benefit from their work, the fact that this type of writing can benefit readers and writers of fanfic alike is recognized. So to a certain extent, copyright law needs to allow for forms of creative expression like fanfic. But for the most part, you need to put any ideas you might have about making money off of your fanfic out of your head, unless you're willing to retroactively remove copyrighted elements from your piece, as E.L. James did with 50 Shades of Grey. But I can't think of too many other examples because it does seem like that's hard to successfully pull off. I actually don't even know how you would retroactively remove copyrighted elements from your piece. You also need to put a disclaimer at the beginning of any fanfic you post to AO3 or Wattpad. As described in an article by Castiel Emil called How to Write the Best Fanfic or Fanfiction, this disclaimer should state that you, quote, are simply writing this fanfiction for fun and not to make money off of someone else's fame and creation, end quote. It's probably also a good idea to clearly state that your work is in no way connected to the actual work. Never assume that something like that is obvious to your readers. One more aspect of fanfic that I'm going to briefly discuss is quality. I've seen comments online that the vast majority of fanfic is of poor quality, and I don't really think it's fair to say that. If you consider once again that a lot of fanfic writers are young and or possibly writing for the first time. If anything, young fanfic writers come across as genuinely interested in developing their skills so that they can continue writing in the future. And I think that's definitely a good thing. Also, I'll admit that I read some examples of Carnival and True Blood fanfic in preparation for this episode that were not only enjoyable to read, but were actually well written. However, it does seem to me that, as a fan, you can get so close to something that when you try to write about it, your passion for it can get in the way of remembering basic stuff like editing, which is why I really like how Sophie Matthews puts it in her article, A Comprehensive Guide on How to Write the Best Fanfiction. Quote, write your heart out, then edit, end quote. That's good advice in general for all types of writers, I think. Get all your ideas down on the page, then go back and see what you can reword and take out and maybe change up a little bit. I think it's easier to do that than to try to write your best from the beginning. At the very least, that'll make the writing process slower. But it can also discourage you from finishing if you run into issues. Another good idea to keep in mind while writing fanfic seems to be to stick with what you're comfortable with and avoid techniques that can be complicated. For example, the Amel article warns against using crossovers, which, quote, contain the components of two media sources, end quote. Such as, and these are just a few of the ones I found in a Google search, The Avengers with Twilight or Fullmetal Alchemist. A male suggests that trying to write a crossover can cause you to lose track of what you want to communicate if you don't know what you're doing. And that's understandable, because even if you're a mega fan of two completely different series, what works for one may not work for another. So, that's my first journey into the world of fanfic. And it's a world I find fascinating, somewhat misunderstood, and certainly worthy of its own podcast episode. Although, once again, I can see myself revisiting this topic at some point. I think that no matter what we write, taking a closer look at fanfic can help us step back and reflect on whatever made us first want to start writing, because it can be easy to lose sight of that. Also, every once in a while I see someone in, say, the Twitter writing community wondering whether they should tweet about anything other than writing, and fanfic reminds us not only that it's perfectly okay for writers to be passionate about something other than just writing, but also that it's probably not possible to separate writing from other parts of your life, unless you want to come across as a bit of a bore. So, having said that, I am fully in favor of you tweeting about something besides writing. Go for it. I also fully realize that some of you who are listening may know a heck of a lot more about fanfic than I do, which I think is fantastic, pun intended, and yeah, I know that was bad. So if there's anything I got wrong or need to know more about, I want you to tell me about it. please email me at marissadelifarfalle@gmail.com. Also, please check out my Patreon page at www.patreon.com/marissadf. There are two tiers you can join. For $1 a month, I'll mention your name in an upcoming episode. And for $3 a month, you'll get a mention on an upcoming episode and access to two exclusive bonus episodes per month. I added my second bonus episode a few days ago. Just my reaction to something I came across in an internet writing community a few days ago. I'm trying to make my bonus episodes a little different than the ones on the main feed. Most of them will probably be a bit shorter and will address topics that maybe don't require as much research, but which I think still are worthy of consideration and discussion. So yeah, there are now two bonus episodes on my Patreon page for you to check out if you'd like to join. Anyway, you can also follow me on Twitter at @MarissaD13 or on Instagram at www.instagram.com/MarissaDF. And I'd also really appreciate it if you could take a moment to rate and review this podcast on Apple Podcasts, as it'll help a lot more people find out about this show. Until next time, thanks so much for listening and for all of the ways you support this show and spread the word about it. I hope the next time you sit down to write, whatever it is, you have fun doing it. I think that's another aspect of fanfic that we can all learn from. I hope you stay safe, and I hope that the new year is healthier and happier for all of us than this past year has been. And I look forward to talking to all of you again in 2021. Peace out.
This podcast has been brought to you by Anchor, which is the easiest way to make a podcast. Go to anchor.fm for more info.